Hello, Gallatin Valley and online listeners. You are listening to KGVM Bozeman Community Radio, broadcasting at 95.9 FM and streaming at kgvm.org. I'm Roxana, and this is Desert Oracle Radio Replay. Today I have an interview with Robin Bridges and Colette Brooks Hopps, two of the team of creators of the new book, Nature Portals. Stay tuned for insights into their creative process and their event coming up on Friday, June 16th at the Bozeman Art Museum. But first, I'll be playing The Haunted Highway. This episode of Desert Oracle Radio was published by Ken Lane on June 2nd, 2023. It can give you a whole new perspective on all those road repairs going on in our valley right now. Enjoy!
Transmitting from the Mojave Wilderness in Joshua Tree, California, now is the time for Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Night has fallen on the desert. The moon high in the sky on the kind of night when the brujas turn into coyotes and owls and squawking nightjars. When the desert world comes to life after a long, bright, quiet day. When, if you are so blessed, strange little lights dance in the sky above you, and clusters of brilliant yellow orbs tumble over the mountain ridge, hovering just inches above the sandy wash as they tumble ever closer to your campsite. The witch lights, the fairy lights, the ghost lights and the spook lights, the feu follet and the friar's lanterns. This is Desert Oracle Radio. With soundscapes by Red, Blue, Black, Silver. We've got your Mojave Desert Roads report for this first weekend of June. Please make a note of all closures and road conditions that may affect your travel, as cell phone service is spotty and unreliable throughout the Mojave Wilderness. You can't count on it. is one of the reasons to pay attention when you first lose your signal coming up the grade to Morongo Valley, because of the 300,000 or so years that humans have existed in our current configuration. Widespread cell phone service has been around in the Mojave Desert for approximately seven of those years, seven out of 300,000. Zizek's Road is closed due to storm damage and, quote, repeated use, which is sort of what roads are made for. Zizek's Road is closed from I-15 to the CSU Desert Studies Center, which is the entire length of the paved road. It's scheduled for opening in mid-June. I don't know if that's mid-June of this year. The SEMA Road is closed from SEMA to I-15. This is an Alert 1 severity closure. Should be reopening, let's see, March of 2024. So take an alternate route until then. Black Canyon Road is closed between Hole in the Wall and Mid-Hills Campgrounds. No way through, don't try it. Barricades on either side. Chasms opening up in the dirt roadway. Many vehicles have been consumed. Access to and from Hole in the Wall is only via Essex Road and Interstate 40. Tetonia Peak Trail can only be accessed by high-clearance four-wheel drive vehicles with heavy-duty tires from the Aiken Mine Jeep Trail. Kelbaker Road between Baker and Kelso has sort of reopened after a long closure due to thunderstorms washing away various parts of the road surface. Current road is loose gravel, no lanes, no center line. Motorists are advised to go very slowly and keep alert at all times, every second of every minute. Kelso Depot is completely closed. Not just the lunch counter, which never reopened after the last guy split a decade or so ago, but the entire depot, the whole building. Catastrophic failure of air conditioning system. That's the note here. I guess they need to call the air conditioning repairman. Might take a while. To get your National Parks passport stamped within Mojave National Preserve, proceed to Hole in the Wall Campground Visitor Center. But do remember that Hole in the Wall is only accessible via Essex Road from Interstate 40, not from Interstate 15 an hour to the north. Kelbaker Road from Kelso Dunes south to I-40 is still missing pavement in many sections. Very rough road. Drivers are advised to travel slowly, but also be aware of the dangers of traveling too slowly especially late at night when it's impossible to see who or what is waiting along the sides of the damaged road. Mojave Road is closed around Paiute Canyon. Please use the 40-mile dirt road southern detour east of Landfair Road. Watch out for deep sand and various obstructions. No services on this or any roads within the Mojave Preserve. Conditions for Castle Mountains National Monument. On the northeastern boundary of Mojave National Preserve, there are no visitor facilities available. Roads are mostly washed out Jeep tracks. Like to remind visitors that there is no water and there is no way out unless you come back the way you came in. Star Mine Road between Nipton and SEMA is missing various sections of pavement. Drive with caution, especially because a late model Ford Expedition from Cathedral City will be coming around the next blind curve at 85 miles per hour or so. It has been a mild and beautiful spring in the Mojave, and it has lasted a lot longer than springtime usually lasts down here. But do not let a mild morning fool you. Technically, spring goes through to the summer solstice coming up at the end of this new month. Another whole month of official springtime, but in the desert, it's usually a memory around early March. So this springtime has been a blessing from St. Minerva. Our own Alpha and Omega of the Mojave, there is no other. Mild weather is the beginning of a lot of last hikes. Especially at Amboy Crater. In Joshua Tree National Park, 25-year-old Trammell Evans vanished after being dropped off at Black Rock Campground, supposedly for a hike he'd done before. It has been more than a month now. Search and rescue has come up with nothing. Last year, a number of bodies turned up in and around the national park, all between the Joshua Tree entrance and the Yucca Valley end of the park. That's the northwestern section of the park. The national park actually goes for about another 100 miles east. Hardly anybody ever goes out there. It's not 100 miles, that's an exaggeration. It's actually 70 miles end to end, east to west. There's a lot of desert in there. You just never know where you're going to find a dead person, you know? Human remains, as they say in the business. When my dog comes trotting up with a big old sun-bleached bone hanging out of his mouth, I just say, look, man, I don't want to know. I'm trying to meditate over here. It's too late in the year for any sort of physical effort. A good time to park yourself in the 9 or 10 inches of shade you can get from a Joshua tree. And read some books about the 5 centuries of hybrid witchcraft and sorcery and native religion and old world magic in the American Southwest. From the Rio Grande to the Pacific, 5 centuries of medieval Spanish supernatural beliefs and practices forced upon the people of the Americas, who already had their suspicions and folk healers and sorcerers and shapeshifters and gods and underworlds. This is a land of roadside altars, of living room shrines, botanicas full of magical votive candles, money spells and love potions, astrologers and psychics and witches of all varieties, from folk healers and fortune tellers to mad wizards with intent to curse and kill. Carlos Castaneda went looking for the secrets in the California and Mexican deserts and wound up making up his own system that he packaged and sold to spiritually minded hippies and New Agers of the 1970s. 8 million copies of Castaneda's Don Juan books were sold. Let's see, what's 8 million times? What do you get for a book these days? 75 cents a copy, I think. I've been reading this very satisfying book called Witchcraft in the Southwest, Spanish and Indian Supernaturalism on the Rio Grande by Mark Simmons. Originally published in 1974 by Northland Press and Flagstaff. And one of the first things that caught my eyes right there in the introduction, it's a quote from the Pulitzer Prize winning newspaper columnist and Kiowa Indian author, N. Scott Momaday. Quote, there are witches at Jemez Pueblo, and when I lived there, I knew of them, sure enough. One night I saw some curious lights away in the distance, small points of light moving erratically about at ground level. And I was told that they were witch lights. Nonsense, I thought. There are some boys running around with flashlights up there, that's all. And then one of the lights rose slowly and then moved like a shooting star across the whole expanse of the sky. I shudder to think about it. It reminded me of a couple of sections from William Butler Yeats' beautiful collection of Irish supernatural folklore and mysticism, The Celtic Twilight. First published in 1893 with an expanded edition put out in 1902. The modern world was already barging into Ireland's ancient rustic culture with its significant retention of the pre-Catholic pagan belief systems. From Yeats. One night, a middle-aged man who had lived all his life far from the noise of cab wheels, a young girl, a relation of his, who was reported to be enough of a seer to catch a glimpse of unaccountable lights moving over the fields among the cattle, and myself were walking along a far western sandy shore. That is Yeats's first mention of anomalous lights moving over the countryside. The young girl identified as a seer, one with the second sight, appears in a later chapter called The Old Town, an event Yeats describes as taking place one night in 1888. We had come under some trees that made the road very dark when the girl saw a bright light moving slowly across the road. Her brother and myself saw nothing, and did not see anything until we had walked for about half an hour along the edge of the river and down a narrow lane to some fields, where there was a ruined church covered with ivy and the foundations of what was called the Old Town, which had been burned down, it was said, in Cromwell's day. We had stood for some few minutes, so far as I can recollect, looking over the fields full of stones and brambles and elder bushes, when I saw a small bright light on the horizon, as it seemed, mounting up slowly towards the sky. Then we saw other faint lights for a minute or two, and at last a bright flame, like the flame of a torch, moving rapidly over the river. We saw it all in such a dream, and it all seemed so unreal that I have never written of it until now, and hardly ever spoken of it. And even when thinking, because of some unreasoning impulse, I have avoided giving it weight and the argument. Perhaps I have felt that my recollections of things seen when the sense of reality was weakened must be untrustworthy. That sense of unreality was all the more wonderful because the next day I heard sounds as unaccountable as were those lights, and without any emotion of unreality, and I remember them with perfect distinctness and confidence. The girl was sitting and reading under a large old-fashioned mirror, and I was reading and writing a couple of yards away when I heard a sound as if a shower of peas had been thrown against the mirror. And while I was looking at it, I heard the sound again. And presently, while I was alone in the room, I heard a sound as if something much bigger than a pea had struck the wainscoting beside my head. And after that, for some days, came other sights and sounds, not to me, but to the girl, to her brother, and to the servants. Now it was a bright light. Now it was letters of fire that vanished before they could be read. Now it was a heavy foot moving about in the seemingly empty house. One wonders whether creatures who live, as the country people believe, wherever men and women have lived in earlier times, followed us from the ruins of the old town. Or did they come from the banks of the river by the trees where the first light had shone for that first moment? Experience the supernatural in the wilderness, in the countryside, in the desert. The world and the universe becomes tremendously more interesting, more magical, more mystifying. That young friend of W.B. Yeats probably would have never considered little space-suited Marvin the Martian astronauts from afar as the cause of the silent, graceful fairy lights moving through the cattle fields and leaping across the star-filled sky. From Amboy to Zizix, across the great Mojave Wilderness, riding on the backs of radio waves where the road is not passable. This is Desert Oracle Radio with Desert Soundscapes by Red, Blue, Black, Silver. And I'm your host, Ken Lane. On the air, Friday nights, 10 p.m., KCDZ 107.7 on your FM dial. In the Mojave Desert, Saturday nights on KZMU at 9 p.m. in Moab, Utah, in the Castle Valley. If you listen to Desert Oracle, there's a chance you love desert history. So this may be of interest. The Morongo Basin Historical Museum's grand reopening happens Saturday, June 3rd from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 632 Landers Lane in Landers. I'm gonna name my next dog or child Landers Lane. What a name. Thanks for listening. Heed those road warnings and good night from the voice of the desert.
I am interviewing a couple of new authors here in Bozeman. Well, actually, I think one of them has written about 10 books. And I'm going to have them introduce themselves and tell you a little about the book that they are just now releasing.
Thank you, Roxana, and thank you for having us on your show with you today. We are very excited. My name is Robin Bridges. Since retiring as a body-mind-spirit therapist about 10 years ago, I turned full-time author of books that honor the natural world and invite us to go into it and experience its wisdom. So now, with nature portals, we deepened that whole process.
Thanks again, Roxanne. I echo what Robin said. My name is Colette, and I am not an author. I am an illustrator. So Robin had the great idea to do this project, and it sort of morphed into this little book that is spiral-bound, that has room for squiggles and your own journaling and your own little artwork that you want to put in it. But it's got 13 beautiful readings in it that honor the divine feminine. And each one kind of takes you with simple practices right into the natural world and how to encounter and possibly how to do ceremony.
First off, let's get the essentials going on. Where can people find this book?
Primarily, it's through our upcoming event, Friday, June 16th, at the Bozeman Art Museum, which is next to, like, three doors down from Distinctive Lighting on West Main Street. And during this celebratory book launch, all of our books will be available, as well as some entire kits we've put together. So you have the option for solely a book or a book in a kit that has some wonderful items in it that will enhance your experience. And after that, it's really just by someone contacting the three of us. We did not go on any major book sales sites. We just wanted to kind of keep it easy and small and local and let it be what it is. And then once we sell our initial run, our initial edition, then we can talk about maybe doing more and putting it in more accessible places.
And do you have a third person involved in this book?
Yes, there is a third person, Rebecca Hartke, and she is one of the other authors. And there's actually some small writings that have been put in the book by Ariana and Steve Getterman. So we have two additional contributory authors. And I'm just the one that pulled out the ideas from the readings and did the cover and produced the artwork for each of the readings. So each of the readings has a painting that I've done. And also at our event, it's going to be like a sacred space within an exhibiting an exhibit that's going on called Sacred Roots at BAM, which is a beautiful exhibit of its own. And our space is going to be a space within that space. So within that space, we'll have all of my original paintings that are in the book will be on display, as well as the books, of course, and the kits. And I'm creating an environment, because that's what I do. I love creating a place where you walk in and you say, oh, wow, this is cool. So I'm busy doing a whole environment that's going to be inside the Sacred Roots exhibit at BAM.
And I'm just going to let whoever wants to answer on this one. So how is this project different from things that you've done before? What niche is it filling?
Good question. It's different because it goes into specific detail, the subtitle, Animate Earth Practices, meaning practices for how to go into the natural wisdom and power of nature in specific ways. So each of these 13 different entries that we've come upon and described range from stone people to the tree people to medicine plants to power places to the elements. And they each offer a brief but engaging description, I feel, from all of us, really, about how to relax yourself going into nature and open to whatever we might call spirit, the universe, God, whatever each person would be comfortable connecting with, what wisdom is so available to us by utilizing these processes. And then, like Colette said, there's wonderful pages after each of the 13 sections to draw, doodle, and you could go back to that same place, like maybe the tree people, standing people, maybe you go back to that one four or five times over a summer or a year, and each time there would be space for you to write about your experiences each time returning to that particular place.
Nice. All right, there's a kit that is offered as part of this project. Colette, would you talk a little about that?
Sure. Well, we just thought, since this was all about going into nature, it would be lovely to have a few ceremonial objects in a satchel. And we have these beautiful satchels made by a Nicaraguan artist. And inside the satchel, which is very non-feminine, it could be used either by men or women, mm-hmm. and be very happily. My son is excited about getting one because he can carry his iPad in it, so along with the book. And then inside the kit is the book, of course, and a pen, and there's a small bag of stones that have been particularly curated for the book. And one is dragon's blood, the other one is
Larimar,
and then the last one is a lovely piece of pink of rose quartz. And along with each is a small a sustainably harvested piece of Palo Santo, which Palo Santo means sacred wood. And when you light the Palo Santo, it gives off an amazing incense, and it just is very otherworldly, and it's much like sage that people use in this neck of the woods, but it's sweeter, and it takes you right into another worldly, kind of sets the tone to be present to whatever is going to happen. So we put these in so that people could create their own ceremony, and each of the readings describes beautifully different ways that you could create your ceremony when you go into nature, just like you could stumble on a beautiful rooted tree that is just like a beautiful open area, and you can bring your own items as well. If, say, you wanted to honor your mother's passing, perhaps you'd bring a photograph of your mom and maybe a locket with something in it that was a treasure to her and you, and you could set those around, and maybe you found a pine cone or a feather along the way. And each of the readings will give you ways to set up your own little altar. In fact, one of the readings is called Sacrament, which sacrament means offering. And it's a lovely way to go and offer who you are to the spirit world and to listen to see what spirit has to tell you. And so that's what this book is all about. And we are just hoping that people will be inspired to create their own ceremony and their own ways of doing it. Nothing is scribed in cement, but it's just a book of ideas and practical ways you can do that.
Are there other books or approaches that influenced you with this project?
I would say more it's been some of my living teachers over the years, like Grandma Twyla Nitch, who was the elder of the Wolf Teaching Clan of the Seneca Nation. I learned from her about the power and aliveness of everything, how life dwells and energy dwells in everything, from even that stone table or a piece of plastic. It all has its own energy and is all to be recognized and respected and understood and honored. And she taught a lot about different aspects of the natural world. And so I would say she was one of my most wonderful teachers. I could name several others, but I think we learn both directly, intrinsically, we already know, and then if we hear a teacher, a human teacher out there that aligns with what we're learning, beautiful, because it accentuates something we knew is true, and we get to come into more community when we realize that other people are already sharing these kinds of loves and hopes and dreams and needs to connect with some wisdom and a source of sustenance to help soothe us, to help us move into a more reasonable rhythm with the rhythm of nature that I think we've pretty much gotten away from. So opening to the natural world, I have certainly found, and I am both Colette and Rebecca, I think, would attest to this in their own lives, that coming into the rhythm of nature brings you back into the rhythm of yourself. It aligns you with beauty and magic and sustenance and the ability to release what needs to be released and absorb what needs to be absorbed, which you probably, maybe you don't even know ahead of time. But when you're in the natural world, and specifically with any of these 13 opportunities, you'll find some magic and unimagined things that will be there for your good. They will help you.
So it sounds like you're not talking about this as a substitute for therapy, but maybe an enhancement, because a lot of us are undergoing therapy, and how can that help?
Beautiful. That's a great question. Yes, absolutely. I think always our inner beings are the deciders of what rings true, what doesn't. And no, nothing to substitute for therapy definitely can be an enhancement, right? Whatever issues you might be working on in therapy, you can bring those to the outer world, have your experience in the outer world, and then come back to your therapy session and share that with your therapist, and that could deepen your entire experience.
Colette, I'd love to talk to you about your art. Her art, I gotta say, just is beautiful and has, well, for lack of better terms, an earthy kind of flavor to it. But it's beyond that, too. And I would love Colette to tell us about her influences.
Oh, gosh, now I got to remember some names. Frida Kahlo. I love her things. Mm-hmm. I love Rivera's things. And when I spent some time in Mexico, I was so taken by the colors of Mexico. So it's really hard for me to keep down the color. And two of my things that probably Bozeman's most know me for are the 2016 Sweet Bee poster of Main Street Bozeman. That was a painting that I did for, actually, I did a painting for dental work. And then I thought, well, I'm going to make cards for these, and I'll see if they want to sell them at the Sweet Pea Festival. And then she said, oh, my gosh, you've got to put this in the Sweet Pea poster contest. I said, the what? And so I had a week to put that in. So anyway, that's one thing. And then John Luden, he commissioned me to do the 100-year-old celebratory painting for the Ellen Theater. So those are the two things, the community things that I've done. But my heart really, I'm not a city painter, but I do love to do collages and bringing all kinds of magic into things. And when Robin asked me to do this, you know, she said, would you like to be involved in this? I said, yes. I said, "It's." And they thought, they had an idea that it was just going to be some little sketches and stuff. But when I read these readings, I knew that they needed something a lot more in depth. So that led to a 3-year commitment on my part. And I was waiting for them in the first part to get all their editing done and on their writings, and then once I had the final thing, then I could start going into it myself. And I spent a lot of time in prayer pondering these readings and trying to feel what was the essence of what each person wanted to say in this reading. How could I enhance that with my work, you know? And I spent a lot of hours doing that. And mostly that's what happens with an artist. That's the hidden part, the pondering part, the research part, the part where you try to capture an image. And some of them I have better relationships with than others. They're like family members to me. And I feel like I know each of the readings as intimate family members too. But that was my process for the book, was to try to fulfill what these lovely ladies had to say. And I hope it works. My sister came for a visit, and she bought 10 of these books. And she said, Colette, and she was sitting there every night reading as she was here, and she said, Colette, she said, you know what? These readings are so powerful, and the images, oh my God, if I was unable to go into nature, these images and these readings take me there. So to me, that was the most transformative statement anybody made about any of my work. I thoroughly enjoyed doing this project, even though it took so much time and such an effort and such intensity. But I like assignments. I don't just go out to my studio and just paint for fun. If somebody gives me assignment, then I have focus, I have a goal, and then I move right along, and then I put my whole heart into it, and everything else goes by the wayside, as my friends will attest. I had to cancel a lot of stuff. But anyway, that's me. That's the way I work.
Thank you. I'm really looking forward to seeing your art at the event.
Thank you.
I have a question now for Robin. Some people I have known are actually afraid of nature. How would you suggest that they approach this? If they want to overcome that, how could they use this?
You ask the best questions, Roxana. I was giggling because I remember not only years ago when I felt fear also, but even if it's been a long time since I've been in the natural world, that kind of little sense of trepidation, because to me, it's like going to meet who knows what. And to that end, I wonder if I could read this little poem in here, Preparation, that helps people prepare for their journey.
Yes, please do.
Okay. It answers your question, I think. Preparation. Into the beyond. You are being drawn into the great unknown, perhaps deeper than ever before. It always takes courage, because you never know ahead of time what you will find, what will be presented to you, how you could be challenged and changed. Knowing this, you take a deep breath, disappearing into the woods, the valley, the glade, pulled along by some invisible hand, inviting you back to your wild origins. And there you go, just like that, vanishing from a measured life into an unpredictable one. Heart pumping, mind loosing, eyes wide and ears keening for that one sight, that one sound, welcoming you back into the family of natural things.
Thank you. So, Colette, I'm going to ask you a question. I noticed that your materials, they strike in me the thoughts of different cultures, different places in the world, and I'd like you to tell us about that if you can.
Well, I would say what Robin, she hasn't said yet, but she she talked about Rebecca, the other author, who is quite a shamanic practitioner as well as a ceremonialist. And she articulates all that very well. In a lot of her readings, she articulates the different cultures that come through in the different readings. But I can only speak for myself. When I was in grad school, my mentor said, I used to love to paint portraits of Native Americans and people of color. That was something that I dearly loved. And then I got this feeling of, I may not have the right to do that. You know, I'm not a Native American. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Black American. I'm not even Chinese. I'm just an American hodgepodge of European descent. So where are my roots? And so then, also, myself being a shamanic practitioner as well, I have learned that some symbols are universal and they don't belong to any culture. Like the simple circle of the medicine wheel with the cross in the center is actually the ancient symbol for earth. And it is in every astronomy book you will see that symbol for earth. So to me, that tells me that it's okay for me to use that. And I took a class on symbols and dreams and what would be my symbol. And I was given very specific permission to use that symbol. Some cultures call it the medicine wheel. Some cultures call it something totally different. But I know astronomy calls it Earth. And Earth is where I live. And Earth is part of me. I am from Earth. I am part of Earth. And so I use that symbol a lot in my work. In fact, I have a medicine wheel that I call it my earth symbol in my backyard. And so to me, it's so indicative of the four directions, the four seasons. Four means stability in human thought. It means we build our houses in squares. We have corners. That gives us a sense of stability and groundedness. And it's also the number of earth. So I have been very influenced by numerology, the meanings of the numbers. And from 0 to 10, 0 to 9, everything is included in the numbers. Everything. You have a great understanding of everything just by what the meaning of the numbers are. And they go beyond culture. They go beyond race. They go beyond place. I believe they are archetypal images that dwell within all of us. So I just feel like I can tap into that and it's okay. I don't appropriate Native American trappings and things like that, although I've been known to use a lot of beadwork in my artwork, and I love to do things on canvases and leather and hang them on beautiful pieces of driftwood. Am I appropriating something? I don't think so, because they're all part of Earth. They're part of who I am. So spirals, you know, things of that nature are all part of who I am. So, and I'll leave that to the Native Americans to paint their beautiful people and their beautiful images and their cultural representatives. And just like I leave the mountains to those painters who have big brushes, because mine aren't big enough to paint those huge mountains and those sweeping valleys, I like to concentrate on the particulars. I'll go out in nature and I'll follow the movement of a root, and I'll follow it behind itself and come out of itself, and how it goes into the ground. To me, that is just like the Celtic knotwork. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's about the journey of life. So who is to say that I can't use that? Thank you, nature, the nature world. You have gifted me with those kind of things. So I could go on and on, gushing.
Well, thank you so much. And Robin, did you want to say anything more about Colette's artwork?
Oh, yes, thank you. Well, I am unabashedly in love with her artwork. It is so vibrant, and it has brought me to tears, every single one of her pieces. And there's an energy in them that is so aligned with each of those 13 entries that we're offering for people. And it's so inviting, and the colors are precious, and the intent is so generous in its description, really. So, yes, I am a huge fan. Very, very much honor her work. I have one of her pieces, actually, in my own home, and I plan to buy some canvas reproductions of these 13 paintings that she has done. Her originals will be for sale at the event, but the canvas copies that she can do, I'm in on some of those, too. So, yeah, thank you. I'm in great admiration and appreciation of her work, like full-time, number one fan.
Oh, thanks,
but
Robin.
There's several of us in that category, so we all have to share her.
You guys are too much.
Okay, I have one last question for each of you. Is there, now I know you've been interviewed before, is there any question that you wish the interviewer had asked and they never asked?
Again, such good questions. I want to do another interview with you on something. It wasn't something that you didn't ask, but it was something that I wanted to expound upon a little bit, if I could. I wanted to read you from our introduction a little bit more about these 13 entries, because I would like our listeners, whoever you are, hello, to have a real good sense of what those are. And this was a paragraph that both Rebecca Hartcut and I wrote. I also want to mention, before I forget, she is a world-renowned cellist, and she will be bringing a cello with her on the 16th. A week and a half. Maybe for some of your listeners, it might be a lot closer than that.
Right.
But she will bring her cello and play live music for us. And the other thing I just want to add is, when you come in that meeting area, the room, I think everybody who walks in is going to have an immediate personal experience with the natural world just walking in the room. That's going to be lovely. Nothing to be afraid of. It's going to be fun. There will be beautiful art, tasty refreshments, live music, cello music from Rebecca, and we'll be having a feeling of portals, of going through a portal, a natural portal, to move deeper into the blessings that the natural world has to offer. So I'm just way too excited.
Colette?
Well, Robin is excited for all of us. This has been a nonstop commitment on my part. I'll tell you what, I'm still working on the environment, within the environment. So I'm really excited because people have volunteered to come and help me. My greatest love, one of my greatest loves, I love lots of loves, but this one is creating sacred space. And so Cashman's, I have to say, a big Big thank you to Cashman's, because they have allowed us to borrow some of their live plants to really create a nice space within the beautiful artwork that is there. So we got some little tricks planned so that when you walk into this area, it's going to, like Robin says, take you into a natural experience, and maybe you'll go, ah, maybe this isn't so scary after all.
Is there any question that I didn't ask that you'd like me to ask or that you'd like to talk about right now?
No, I managed to get all everything I wanted to say into this conversation thanks to your great questions, Roxanne.
Well, thank you both so much, and I look forward to seeing you at the event. And you want to tell me again what day that is and what time?
Yes, Friday, June 16th from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Bozeman Art Museum, BAM. Three doors down from Distinctive Lighting on West Main. And at 5:30, we will be having a special presentation where Colette will speak a little bit more, I believe, about her art process. Rebecca will give us a couple of special renditions she's creating for this event. I might read from a section or two directly from the book. And,
And it'll be like the only opportunity to see it all, because it goes up that day and it comes down right after.
Thank you. That's good to, So I would like to refer back again to these 13 entries so that people who are considering coming will have a little better idea of the treat that's in store for them if they purchase either this book or the book in the kit, however they choose to do that. And this is what Rebecca and I wrote together, but primarily she did, and she also refers to ancestors here. Through these entries, which you will find in nature portals, you will be invited to open to energies that the land around you is emanating. You might honor and connect with any indigenous wisdom or practices from ancestral peoples who lived in the area, or if those are not familiar, you could ask spirit to reveal how your own ancestors lived, discovered wisdom, and formed their own cultural traditions from that same land. After honoring the ancestors, you can follow all these 13 suggested activities or create your own, one at a time, by simply bringing your intention to bless and be blessed in the natural world. You will be offering your heart, mind, and spirit to great mystery. This simple choice will assist your encounter with the unknown and increase your trust in the process and the outcome. And as we launch the reader further into the book, we close with, "It is with eagerness and love that we anticipate the powerful and revealing experiences awaiting you in the natural world. May you find more than you seek, and may it serve the highest good of the planet during this time of massive change."
Thank you. Thank you, Gallatin Valley, for listening. As always, you can call me and leave a message about anything on your mind. The number is 406-404-6246. Remember to spread the word that you can hear this program on the air at 95.9 FM Bozeman Community Radio, or you can stream it online at kgvm.org at 7 p.m. Sunday and 9 a.m. Monday. You can also listen on demand to all Desert Oracle Radio replay shows on the kgvm.org webpage. Just go to the webpage and scroll down to the environment section. Click on Desert Oracle Radio Replay and you'll see all the episodes we have done so far. Click on the number of any episode to play it. That's it for today, so till next time, listeners, be safe, stay well, and sweet dreams. Let's have you two take us out.